Go Loud.
And when he said that it wasn't, you know, an accurate description of how the British Army had acted in the north, everyone started booing.
Yeah. Honesty would have saved so many lives.
Not killing people would have saved so many
lives. That's true. Yeah.
Any questions? Hello everybody, and welcome to our second Chaser episode, our bonus episode of a Thursday where we go more in depth on one topic in the news. This week we have decided to discuss the trial of Soldier F. At the outset, I would like to say that the Savile inquiry found that Soldier F shot and killed my Uncle Patrick, who was 31, with six children on Bloody Sunday, and my family attended the trial for Soldier F last week. Everything we talk about here will be taken from news websites and the Savile Inquiry itself. So although I do have a vested interest and my own feelings about Soldier F, none of the historical references I'll be giving here are my own opinion. They'll be taken from news articles. So last week on Thursday, the former British paratrooper known as Soldier F was found not guilty of murder on Bloody Sunday. The former British soldier is now aged in his 70s and sat behind a curtain in the Laganside courts, something my family started referring to as the Wizard of Oz. Just an insight into our dark humour there. Following a police investigation, the Public Prosecution Service in the North announced in 2019 that Soldier F was going to be charged with the murders of Jim Ray and William McKinney and five counts of attempted murder on Bloody Sunday. Bloody Sunday was the 30th of January 1972, when 13 people were killed when members of the British Army's elite parachute regiment opened fire on the public in an anti-internment march in the Bogside in Derry. So that is how we got to this point. I would also note that it was a non-jury trial for Soldier F, so Judge Patrick Lynch was making his own decision, not one that was based on a jury of his peers. This is what's known as a diplock court. They were usually done away with, but they can be brought back in for special circumstances. Any questions?
I have a few questions. This is maybe my first time talking to somebody who is directly affected in that way. And I think probably we take for granted how little in the South we understand of the lived experience. First thing, some of the relatives talking afterwards said they didn't blame the trial judge.
Yes.
Why did they say that?
The judge can only make a decision on the evidence that was in front of him. And the British state and the British army destroyed most of the evidence from Bloody Sunday. So this was never going to be a trial or a decision that we thought was going to go in our way. And when I say we, I mean the families of the victims. This is a direct quote. So Judge Patrick Lynch said on the day, "They," as in the British Army, "had totally lost all sense of military discipline, shooting in the back unarmed civilians fleeing from them on the streets of a British city. Those responsible should hang their heads in shame." However, the judge said there was no concept of collective guilt in the court. He said the Crown had failed to establish that Soldier F was knowingly and intentionally assisting in the shootings with intent to kill, or was shooting himself with that intention. The sole evidence against Soldier F was from two other veterans, Soldiers G and Soldiers H, and he said there was difficulties relying on it. He said about the two witnesses, "I find that they have been serially untruthful about matters central to events giving rise to this prosecution." The judge added that whatever suspicion the court may have about the role of Soldier F, he was constrained and limited by the evidence presented. So for instance, the guns used on Bloody Sunday were destroyed. So my uncle was shot in basically the bottom of his back, the top of his arse. And if you go to the Museum of Free Derry, you can see his belt displayed, and there is a perfect semicircle cut out of the belt where the bullet went into the bottom of his back. That belt lay in my granny's attic for 20 years. It was never taken as evidence. My auntie was 29 when she was widowed, and a policeman never came to her door to investigate what happened. The British Army and the RUC had something that was known as the tea and sandwiches arrangement, which meant that members of the security services would meet each other and have tea and sandwiches and discuss what had taken place. And even when 14 men and boys lay dead, there was no police investigation. So any criminal court case was never bound to give any sense of justice, because if there is no evidence, then it's never going to go in our favour.
And what happens now in terms of, you talk about, you know, a sense of justice from the point of view of the victims and the families of the victims, to get a sense of closure, they kind of go, the judge's comments, that means as closure as it's going to get, or is there something else that happens next?
I think the proudest thing for the Bloody Sunday families, and I hope they don't think I'm speaking out of turn here, but the proudest thing we ever did for as the Bloody Sunday families was the Savile inquiry. So 20 years after Bloody Sunday, members of my family and other families came together to start the Bloody Sunday Justice Campaign, in which they protested constantly north and south, and they went to London and they did everything they could in order to get a fresh inquiry. A month after Bloody Sunday, not even a month, I think 3 weeks after Bloody Sunday, the British state gave us a show trial investigation called the Widgery Tribunal under Lord Widgery. A laughable kind of waste of time and waste of money, in which it said that the men and boys who were shot were, you know, members of the IRA and basically not only murdered these people, but then slandered them in their graves. So our families campaigned for the Savile inquiry. Lord Savile took it over. It took years. It cost millions. I remember the first time my mammy went over to London to the Savile inquiry and my cousins whose father was murdered and coming back shook. I mean, had to sit in a room with him, Soldier F, just this little old English man. He consistently said he did not recall and did not remember the things that happened, despite it being his first time in Derry. He said he couldn't remember anything about it. Lord Savile found that Soldier F killed most of the people. He was the soldier with the highest death rate on Bloody Sunday. The key findings of Savile completely upended what the British state had told their people. David Cameron apologised to our family, said it was unjustified and unjustifiable. He then laughably said that Bloody Sunday wasn't the entire story of the behaviour of the British Army in the Northern Troubles.
You could have left that sentence out. I think that was
the time.
Which
I thought was so funny. I remember watching it in Guildhall Square in Derry on the big screen while the rest of my family. And when he said that it wasn't, you know, an accurate description of how the British Army had acted in the North, everyone started booing.
Was it like that meme where, you know,
we killed all you guys, but we didn't, you know, that's not always the way we acted, was the vibe. So just to give people a taste of what the Savile report said, none of the casualties shot by the soldiers of Support Company was armed with a firearm or bomb of any description. None was posing any threat of causing death or serious injury. In no case was any warning given before soldiers opened fire. On balance, Lord Savile said that the soldiers fired first. Soldiers reacting by losing their self-control and firing themselves, forgetting or ignoring their instructions and training and failing to satisfy themselves that they had identified targets posing a threat of causing death or serious injury. The Savile inquiry didn't make any recommendations about prosecutions. So how we ended up in court last week was off the back of the Savile inquiry. Then it was handed to the PSNI to do their own investigation. And the confusing or interesting thing about this is the PSNI came to a different conclusion than Lord Savile did. So Lord Savile was able to say, we believe Soldier F killed this person, this person, this person. Yeah. But the PSNI came to different conclusions. So, for example, one of the families had spent their entire lives thinking one soldier had killed their loved one. And it turned out then that the PSNI said it was someone else. So this was started in 2019. We fought to have the trial here, even though we know, because Savile has told us that Soldier F killed my uncle, Patrick Doherty. He was not on trial for killing Patrick Doherty. He was on trial for two murders and five attempted murders. And Lord Savile said, just to sum up, the soldiers of Support Company who went into the bogside did so as a result of an order by Colonel Wilford, which should not have been given, and which was contrary to the orders that he had received from Brigadier McLellan. And just to add, the senior staff who were involved in Bloody Sunday were decorated by the Queen after it.
No remorse, really. Why are they anonymous?
Soldier F and the rest of the soldiers were given anonymity due to a court order protecting their identities to prevent him from becoming a target for violence or retribution. I would say that Soldier F, whose name I have known since I was a child, Soldier F has been named in the House of Commons by the MP for Derry Colm Eastwood, and he was named in the Dáil by the AIM2 leader, Pat O'Toole. Our family and all the families have long said that he does not deserve anonymity. The British government were able to slander our families as, you know, IRA and ruin their reputations. But this man and these men did to keep their anonymity and go on with their lives. In the aftermath of one of the many court cases, posters popped up all over Derry that said the name. And at one point they considered prosecuting one of the brothers of the victims for repeating the name of the man who killed his brother.
One of the things about grief is you know what happened the person who died. Like, it's the thing you take for granted. You deal with, like, the loss and the realities of it, the absence of them in your lives. When you don't know what happened, how does that affect families? Obviously, people get on with their lives, but also there's this huge part that makes it hard to proceed with normal life after.
My mammy always used to say about Bloody Sunday, they don't even know what they did. Because it's not the 14 people that they murdered or the 27 odd people, I think, they injured. Some lifelong injuries. It's the children and the trauma that they've left behind. You know, the civil rights movement, I don't think a lot of people realise this, the civil rights movement died in the north on Bloody Sunday. People were too afraid to go out onto the street and protest. Protesting ended because of Bloody Sunday. But for me, the trauma and addiction and lost potential is some of the worst consequences of Bloody Sunday. I don't think my cousin Tony would mind me saying this because he's written a book about this, but my cousin Tony, after his father was murdered, grew up very angry and joined the IRA, went to prison when he was 19. Like, that's a loss of so much potential in so many years. And when he got out of prison, he founded the Bloody Sunday Justice Campaign, and he said in his book, joining the IRA didn't bring my daddy back, so I had to try something else. But that's what young men do and young women do. When you lose someone or you're harassed by a soldier or someone is murdered in your family, of course, you go out and join the IRA. And on the evening of Bloody Sunday, Ivan Cooper, the civil rights leader, who was actually a Presbyterian man, he said at a press conference to the British state, you have given the IRA the biggest recruitment drive that they will ever have. And for me, it's not, I mean, I didn't know my Uncle Paddy. I wasn't born until 1991, so I've seen pictures of him my entire life. You know, there's a framed picture of my Uncle Paddy in every one of my cousin's houses and my granny's house. And I can walk through the bogside and there's multiple paintings of my Uncle Paddy. I never met him. So the grief for me isn't for my Uncle Paddy, but it's for his six children who didn't have a daddy. I mean, my cousin Glenn was 6 months when his dad was murdered. And sometimes when I look at Glenn, you know, you could just cry thinking about, you know, everything he's lost. And also, you know, my auntie, was very common for the widows of Bloody Sunday. They struggle with their mental health and whatever else. And that, I think, is the worst thing about it. The murder is one thing. It's the fight for retribution is another. And I think, I always say this, but it's very strange to be a Bloody Sunday family because you feel lucky. And only in the north could you be lucky when the security services murder your family member. But we're lucky because we even got an inquiry. We even got a soldier in the dock. There are families across the north. Pat Finucane's family, Sean Brown's family. People should Google the Ballymurphy massacre, the Spring Hill massacre. None of these families are going to get even near court like we did. And that is why I feel strangely lucky. And maybe it's luck of the draw. Maybe it's just the tenacity of Derry people that we weren't going to let this go. But also, Bloody Sunday was the biggest loss of life by the state services.
And there's a cause there to row in behind, something to pour your energies into.
Like, almost half of the people who were killed on Bloody Sunday were children, like 17 years old. And the thing that always gets me is we're supposed to be their citizens. They continually tell us that we're British citizens and this is how they treated their own citizens, in quotation marks. And then they wonder why we don't want anything to do with them. And actually, the funniest thing I thought about, and no one else mentioned this, on the court docket for Soldier F, it said, the King versus Soldier F. The King is head of the parachute regiment, and Soldier F was a soldier in the parachute regiment. And we're supposed to believe that justice could be done when the head of the regiment is prosecuting the soldier from the regiment. And I think it just shows you how laughable the British justice system is when it comes to the North.
You heard headlines about legacy, and do they want to brush all of this under the carpet and move on? Because you hear this, we all need to move on, but moving on would be a lot easier.
If people were honest.
Yeah, because the honesty would have saved so many lives.
Not killing people would have saved so many
lives. Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Also factually true. Yeah. But had they dealt with it properly, having dealt with it terribly.
There are places where you can look at legacy and see that it works. You know, they had a truth commission in South Africa and places like Rwanda and stuff where you can do this. We haven't done this, and it's because in order for this to work, all sides have to be honest. And I don't believe that the British government have any interest in honesty. You know, I think even now, when it comes to things like Operation Steak Knife and whatever else, I think if the British people knew what was carried out in their name and the Irish people knew what was done here, the Union would never recover. And I think the British government has absolutely no interest in truth or reconciliation. And I don't trust the IRA, to be honest, either. We can't even get certain people to admit they were in the IRA. And that is not only insulting the intelligence of the entire country, but also the victims of IRA violence. So I actually wish they would stop talking about legacy.
Yeah.
Because I don't think there's any... Everything that they bring out wastes more money and gets people's backs up. And I think this trial, the Soldier F trial, will be the last of its kind in the North, because it was basically a show trial to show that when the British state destroys evidence, you can't get a conviction, so stop trying now. Because we were lucky enough to even get there. And I really, really would like to hear the word legacy done and dusted, and maybe that money could be better put into addiction services, services for young people, reconciliation, doing away with religious schools in the North, continuing integrated education, because the real legacy of the Troubles is poverty and trauma, and maybe we'd just be better putting money into that instead.
And the young people now who are maybe one or two generations removed, do they carry the burden? What do they think about Bloody Sunday, do you think?
I think Derry and Bloody Sunday are a different kettle of fish. Maybe somebody in Belfast and Ballymurphy. Bloody Sunday was an open wound in Derry for so long. I don't remember ever being told about Bloody Sunday. It was just osmosis that I just became part of my story. But I wasn't even the only person in my class who lost someone on Bloody Sunday. The thing about Bloody Sunday was that it was 14 people and around 30 injured. But everyone, like two of the wee boys who were killed in Bloody Sunday, were in the same class at school. There was a real closeness in the community. Yeah. Most people were from Craigan and Rosemount. And Bloody Sunday has become synonymous with Derry. So I think young people growing up, especially in working class communities, will always know about Bloody Sunday. And it's a real pride thing. We took on the British state and won. You know, we got David Cameron to apologise to us. That's unheard of for Catholic people or working class people in general. So I think Bloody Sunday in Derry is different. I think maybe if you went to West Belfast, they'd say to you about Ballymurphy, which happened 6 months before Bloody Sunday, and they reckon if there had been the same soldiers taken to task at Ballymurphy, then Bloody Sunday would have never happened. But young people are growing up with less trauma about the Troubles, but more trauma about poverty and addiction.
And you said you took on the British government and won, working class community, brought a Prime Minister to apology. Is there anything that other places can learn from that? Is it persistence? Is it unity of purpose?
It's actually a thing now called the Bloody Sunday Model, and it's a campaign strategy that our families coined. And so far, we have met with the families in Hillsborough. We had the Stardust families come to Derry and talk about it. It is a model for any working class community to take on the state. And we do lots of international work now with people in other communities who are trying to take on the state as well. But the thing I always say about Bloody Sunday and everything else in the North is it's been this hard for us and we speak English. Imagine what it's like for families in Afghanistan and Iraq who are trying to take on the British state now.
Thanks very much, Aoife. I learned a lot.
Good.